So our reading this morning is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, verses 1 to 12, the river from the temple. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me round the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes out into the Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So when the river where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Eglan. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing." Amen.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Michael, Lord. We thank you that he's come out his way, Heavenly Father, to bring the word to us this morning. And we pray and know, Lord Jesus, this word is anointed. We pray, Lord Jesus, you'll anoint him as he brings this word, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, thank you for your welcome to be your preacher again. It's good to be back here in Ucknall. And it's certainly good to see a church so full of people again. Praise God as we begin to surface from the nightmare of the past couple of years. I bring you greetings from the church where my wife Jane and I are in membership, and that's Long Eaton Baptist Church in Derbyshire, just in Derbyshire. It's a church that's going through all kinds of change. We too have had to weather the COVID storms, but we have appointed fairly recently, for the first time in many years, a full-time church and community pastor. And he's taking us out in mission in new ways that the church has never traveled or journeyed down before. So that's most encouraging, and it's also encouraging that we are experimenting with new styles of worship at the moment. You say that, and some people groan, and some people shout their hallelujahs, but a church that's not prepared to be flexible and adapt and change is a church, sadly, that eventually dies. So greetings from Long Eaton Baptist Church, and greetings also from the Retired Baptist Ministers Network in the East Midlands. Did you know that between 80 and 90 ministers have recognized where the center of the universe is and have retired to the East Midlands? There are all kinds of practical reasons for that, not least the ease of travel north or south, railways, motorways, airport. But it's also because in a number of ways, this part of the country has a special attraction to so many of us. Mark Clay, our team leader, asked me 2 to 3 years back if I'd help him build a network of retired Baptist ministers. And among the plans that we have this year, on Tuesday, Jeff Colmer, this year's president of the union, will be sharing with us via Zoom on Rhythms of Grace. And later in the year, in person, all being well, we will have David Coffey, who for many years was the leader of our Baptist family, speaking to us and reflecting on ministry and life and retirement and the Christian way. So greetings from Long Eaton Baptist Church and the retired, whatever that means, Baptist Ministers Network here in the EMBA. Well, we heard those powerful words from Ezekiel. They're echoed in the book of Revelation 22 and verses 1 to 5. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, and it was as clear as crystal. And it was flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It was flowing down the middle of the great street of the city, and on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit and yielding that fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face. His name will be on their foreheads. There'll be no more night. They won't need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. The Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. May the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our hearts, and the actions that flow from them be acceptable in heaven's sight through Christ our Lord. Amen. Son of man, do you see this? And he led me back to the banks of the river. There are times in life when we need to get an overview. We need to step back and from the banks of the river, try and take in everything that's happening. I came to faith in Christ in Clifton, Nottingham, south of the Trent, part of the Council House Estate Church planting movement of the 50s. And so Mum and Dad could have some peace on a Sunday afternoon. They sent me off to the afternoon Sunday school. Little did they know that those experiences would change my life forever. Because it was there that I found the Lord. It was there I began to read the scriptures. It was there through a young preacher fresh from college, I knew Christ was calling me to follow him, and it was there that I first began to open the Bible. It was the King James Version, of course. Floppy black leather, beautiful pages, the language of Shakespeare, the language of heaven. Basically, the philosophy of the church was this Bible was good enough for St. Paul, it was good enough for Spurgeon, so it's the one we're going to use. And I came to love it and still do. But I needed more. There was a translation that came out called the Jerusalem Bible in the late 60s. It was Catholic. Can you imagine the consternation in a pretty narrow evangelical Baptist church in Clifton when their new convert came along with a doorstep of a book that had been published by Catholics? But there was something powerful about the Jerusalem Bible. For one thing, it was in contemporary English, and I could understand it. And for another, it recognized that the Bible had poetry and prose and proverbs, and it set the Bible out not in two columns all of equal length from Genesis to Revelation, but where there were prophecies or poems or proverbs, they were set sometimes in a different font, but certainly in a different context. And it made me appreciate the literature, the beauty of the Bible, this book that for 2,000 to 3,000 years has inspired believers all over the world. Samuel Coleridge, the poet and visionary, spoke of the Bible as a sacred library, 66 books from Old and New Covenant that speak to God's people and give us an overview of life here on earth and glimpses of the river of life and the life of the age to come. I was grateful for that contemporary translation. By now, I was training at Regent's Park College in Oxford, training for Baptist ministry, and in 1979, some of you will remember it, the New International Version was published. I went to Blackwell's the first day it was published. Incidentally, if you go into Blackwell's, when any bookshop, don't take your credit card. But I went there and I bought my copy and I devoured it. Within a few weeks, I'd read it cover to cover, and it's been my main Bible, my preaching and teaching Bible ever since. In the mid-90s, they brought out an inclusive language version that recognized that sisters as well as brothers get the message of the Word of God, and I, for one, find that helpful. Not all do, but I appreciated a Bible that accepted male and female and reflected that in its language. There was then the Message. Do you remember the Message? Eugene Peterson's contemporary translation. It's like Marmite. You love it or you hate it. I loved it, partly because I really respected this pastor who'd given his life to preaching and teaching, studying the Greek and the Hebrew, and then translating it into contemporary American. I taught in Poland for a number of years, and as I got to know our American Baptist friends, I'd look at them with a wink in my eye, and I'd say, "We gave you a beautiful language, and you've spoilt it." And there's something of that in the Message and the films and the series we're so used to. American, like it or not, is the most dominant expression of England across the planet, and Eugene Peterson captured this. So much so, he became a kind of mentor to the supergroups like U2 and Bono. There's a lovely video on YouTube of Bono and U2 chatting with Eugene Peterson about the Psalms. It's wonderful. More recently, I got my Kindle and now carry a university library around in the palm of my hand. And last year, Mike Arnold, our minister, encouraged us again. Read the scriptures from beginning to end. Read the whole Bible in a year. And on the Kindle, I did. Some I know read the scriptures cover to cover at least once a year. Mine has been more occasional, but every time I've come to appreciate that sacred library. There is no book like it. Every day of my Christian life, I read a small portion of the scriptures. I find Scripture Union Encounter with God notes helpful, but there are many of them. But the point is this. And if we could see the slide, please. It's a powerful saying of Martin Luther. It's been my experience since that conversion in Clifton. The Bible's alive. It speaks to me. It's got feet. It runs after me. It's got hands. It lays hold on me. The Bible, it's the true Lord and Master of all the doctrines and all the writings on earth. Here's my question, an overview. Son of man, do you see this? And he led me back to the banks of the river. When did you last work your way through the Holy Scriptures and allow them to minister and speak to you? It's been my privilege to baptize and receive into membership hundreds of people over the years. One of the great privileges of ministry. And I've said to them all, at least once in your lifetime, read the whole Bible, cover to cover. And then I look at them and I say, and we never know how long our lifetime will be. Sisters and brothers, time for an overview. Back to the banks of the river. May I encourage you not just to read small portions of Scripture, but to begin to read books of the Bible, New Testament, Old Testament, and hear the Lord again and again speaking. It's the river of life. Jerome, one of the early church fathers, says, the Scriptures, they're like an ocean in which an elephant can swim, and they're like a little stream in which a lamb can wade. Whether you're elephant or whether you're lamb, and that is no reference to size, sisters and brothers, but whether you have known the Lord for decades or are like a lamb just beginning to paddle in the Scriptures, it's time to stand on the bank, get an overview, and let the river of life that are the Holy Scriptures flow into and through you and out into service and kindness and ministry. I thought of that as I reflected on this powerful passage. It's a passage in a time of war, a time of nightmare, a time of horror. Ezekiel is in exile. With many other leading figures, he's been taken to Babylon as a captive, and there having to sing the songs of Zion while a captive in a foreign land. It's a time of misery. It's a time of cruelty and depravity. And if you've read Ezekiel, you will know that again and again, the honesty, the realism of war, and we're seeing it on our screens day by day at the moment in the nightmares of a Mariupol, for example. This is what Ezekiel and his people were living through as he gained these visions and shared them with us. The vision of Ezekiel 47 is one of several occasions where from the temple, the place of worship, he stands on the shore, as it were, and gains an overview of what God is saying and doing, and brings a message of hope. So we have this picture of someone, as it were, learning to swim, ankle deep, knee deep, body deep, submerged and overflowing, going deeper and deeper into the river of life. And we have a picture of it flowing from the temple across the Holy Land. We have it refreshing the desert areas. We have it refreshing even the Dead Sea. Now, a number of years ago, I had the privilege of visiting the illustrated Bible that is the Holy Land. And like many, I swam in the Dead Sea. It's not a pleasant experience. It's so thick with salt, and if you do get some in your mouth, it is not nice. There are pictures all over the internet of people swimming in the Dead Sea, sometimes with a copy of the Times in their hands. Mine was, of course, the Guardian, but let's not go there. It's horrible. It's horrible, and there's very little life because it is so full of salt. And Ezekiel sees that transformed. A streams of fresh, clean, clear, running water flow into the Dead Sea and transform it and begin to flow out into the surrounding countryside. And suddenly there is plant life, and there are trees of life, and there is a sense of growing and vibrancy and buoyancy again. The dead salt sea, the deserts transformed by the flowing river of life. Son of man, do you see this? And he led me back to the banks of the river. What does this vision have to say to us? It's captured in the life of Revelation as well, of course. One of the descriptions of heaven that we read there picks up Ezekiel 47 and speaks of heaven as a place of the healing of the nations, where the tree of life blossoms and grows, and where, as Revelation also puts it, every tear is wiped away from our eyes. I'm reminded of a story of Johnny Erickson. Many of you will know her, disabled after a horrific diving accident. And as a young teenager, she lost the use of most of her body. And yet she has had the most remarkable ministry, traveling the world, encouraging, affirming people to believe in the love of God and in wholeness and looking forward to heaven. I love a good film. I love a good film because somehow you can escape. You can reflect on different people's life's experiences or stories, and very often they help us with our own mess, problems, issues, joys. Johnny Erickson once said in answer to the question, why has God left you like that? Why haven't you been healed? Why doesn't God make you whole? Surely he can. And she said, he will, one day, in the life of heaven, in the life of the age to come. But what God said to me, Johnny said, what God said to me is that life here on earth, it's like a trailer. It's like a movie trailer anticipating what's to come. You get glimpses of the main feature. You see this and that. You're introduced to a character here or a setting there. But a trailer is not the full film. Only in the life of heaven do we get the full film, the full healing, the full flowing of that river of life and the tree which is for the healing of the nations. I'm learning to live in the trailer, as it were, she said, but I know that in God's good time, the full healing of heaven will be mine. Son of man, do you see this? And he led me back to the banks of the river. Well, what does this have to say to us as we emerge from lockdown and the nightmare of COVID? I say that very cautiously. I hope we're all aware the monster is not dead. You only have to have a look at some of the statistics coming from hospitals or health authorities to know that learning to live with COVID, to use the cliche, is not going to be easy. But it is one of those things that has to be done as we begin to resurface, as we begin to rebuild, and as we come to terms with the damage it has done in so many ways to lives, to health, to families, to charities, to businesses, to whole nations and economies. It's been like a powerful water leak. Wherever there is a weakness, the pressure has grown and it's sorted out and found it. And now we are rebuilding. As we begin to emerge, I'd like to encourage you to have this picture of the river of life flowing and to remember that this is why God has set you here in Hucknall, why he's placed you here at this time for this generation, that the river of life may continue to flow in and through this church community. How many people have found eternal life here? How many people have been baptized as believers here? How many people have made the commitment, the covenant commitment of marriage, or that of a parent to a child in a dedication and blessing service? How many loved ones have we commended on into the life of heaven here in this precious, sacred space? The river of life, the river of heaven's life, the trailer touching us here, and beginning to impact and change lives for the better, and flowing out through the coffee room, flowing out into the town and district, offering hope, offering healing, offering courage, and offering of faith, not just for this world, but for the next. As we rebuild now, and churches all over Baptist together, all over the country, all over the world are having to rebuild, let's go back to that purpose. That purpose that we may be a place where the Holy Spirit pours that river of life in and through us. And what is dead and salty is refreshed and renewed. And the desert spaces are touched with the healing for the nations and the life-giving Spirit of God. Charles Wesley, great hymn writer, has a hymn that I've often said in times of difficulty as a local church pastor or perhaps as a family. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to that alone, laughs at impossibilities, cries, "It shall be done. It shall be done." The river of life flowing again, free and powerful through Watnall Road Baptist Church. It shall be done. Say it with me. It shall be done. It shall be done. Because God, the Holy Spirit, in the name of Christ, is with us in the rebuilding. Our task at this time in churches across the counties and nations of Britain is to be part of that rebuilding as the river of life flows. And as we reaffirm our faith in the God of life, the God of hope, the God of healing, the God of forgiveness, it shall be done. Our responsibility for a generation or so is to ensure that this church, please God, is a place where people continue to find the Lord, enter into the experience of baptism, bring their children for blessing and dedication, make their love commitment to each other, and a place where those we commend into the life of heaven, where the saints above, as it were, have added to their number, that this church, in this place, in this generation, continue to serve that river of life as God the Holy Spirit moves here. But I want to finish with a final appeal. And it's appeal to each one of us as individual disciples. Son of man, do you see this? And he led me back to the banks of the river. Sisters, brothers, it's time to go deeper. Some of you, a bit like us at the seaside when it's cold, dipping your toe in the water and then thinking, nope, that's enough for me, bye. And the water, as it were, is just up to the ankle. Some have waded in and it's up to the knees and already you're feeling the pressure of it. Some of you are really up to the neck in the best possible way and enjoying the flow of serving God, and others swimming freely. But wherever you are in your relationship with God, my plea to you this morning, time to go deeper. Time to recommit to reading the Bible. Not just a small passage here or there, but to let a whole book of the Bible, there are 66 of them, speak to you. It's not ankle and knees, it's a whole dive in and a swim. For some of you, it's the challenge at last to hear that voice that's spoken to you perhaps for years and to indicate to those in leadership here, it's time, I want to be baptized as a believer in the name of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. For some of you, it's a time to stop living a deceit with a parallel life, the one that happens on a Tuesday evening or a Friday night, and the one here on a Sunday morning among sisters and brothers in the faith. It's time to bring your Sunday faith and your weekday living together to integrate them. Time to go more deeply into God the Holy Spirit. And for some, it's a time when we need to say, Lord, I'm just a lamb. I'm just paddling at the moment. But I want to know more of your Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I want that river of life to flow in me and through me. I want you to clean the crevices and the rooms and the secret passages of my life and my mind and my heart. I want your Holy Spirit to immerse, baptize, fill me. The ankle, the knee, it's not good enough. It's time to go all in for God. Whatever the challenge to you this morning, as we come out of COVID, as we resurface, as we seek to rebuild, we're part of this vision of Ezekiel, culminating in revelation of the river of life flowing across this planet and bringing forgiveness and healing and eternal life and spiritual growth wherever that river flows. It shall be done. Let's open ourselves as Easter approaches to God the Holy Spirit, and may the river of life continue to flow through this church community and through our families and our lives. Son of man, do you see this? And he led me back to the banks of the river. It shall be done. In the name of Christ.